brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 1:30.
Nope, not anymore.
We're not going for two.
No, Caddyshack got put on then.
Oh, well.
We got reruns of Caddyshack.
You can't argue. No, they don't play it every day, though.
You can't argue.
This is Caddyshack. A marathon Caddyshack week.
Yeah, you can't argue Caddyshack.
I know that.
I watched them film that, actually. They filmed it just down the road when I was a kid. I used to go out there and watch them film it. Chevy Chase threw a rock at me. Go ahead. You told
I just
me.
Played I there at too. The Jacaranda Country Club yesterday.
No, not Jacaranda.
No?
Rolling Hills.
Ah.
And they filmed the pool scene right across the street from that Mexican place, Bianchito. So,
oh, wow.
Plantation Preserve, yeah. All right, enough reminiscing like old fogies. So this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Thank gosh we're getting to scotch. I was promised scotch. I'm getting it.
Well, you're not getting, I don't have the hypernova for you today. I know you're going to be disappointed.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
And yeah, Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Happy to be back in the damp, dark, drippy basement.
I keep it especially drippy just for you. You're Thank the biggest you. Drip I know.
Isn't that... What's up, chlamydia?
We've been asking what that sore is on you for years, but none of us can actually identify it. And I've got a surgeon across the table from me.
He's the urologist. Yeah. Chlamydia is the drip, right?
Yeah, he can't figure out what he's got. Drip.
Yeah. But that sore you have is unrecognizable.
Yeah. Yeah. And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. Sorry, I missed out on that Nashville hot haggis.
You're a complete bastard and we'll hate it.
Yeah. There you go. So don't make fun of haggis. And good old boy Harmeet.
Bob, please let me grovel at your feet today for allowing me in the basement. This is one of the best shows of the year. This is it. This is the one.
Kiss my ring.
Yes.
Oh wait, no.
Yes, master.
It's not on my hand. I've inserted it in another place that you can kiss. So, all right. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, anything else you can drink. And here's the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. It's a good day, boys and girls. So we have from the Glendronach 19th Cask Series, the Glendronach Cask 5080, the Glendronach Cask 6052, and the Glendronach Cask 217. And then from the inaugural Cask Release Series from Benriach, we have cask number 3812, Benriach cask 10297, Benriach cask 15058, Beverly Hills 90210. Mm-hmm. And from our friends at Balvenie, the Rare Marriages Collection, we are very fortunate to have the Balvenie 25 and the Balvenie 40.
You mean they're not a single cask like the others?
But no.
Oh my God.
No. No, David Stewart puts them in his infamous marrying tun and lets them sit there until they've percolated and blended and become.
This is proof that it's better to be
happy, happy. So
better be in a relationship than a single cask.
I mean, this show has been touched by two of my favorite people in all of Scotland. I mean, Dr. Rachel Berry and David Stewart. I mean,
show us on the Dollard.
You're not going wrong. You're not going wrong. So let's have. Against my better judgment, let's have Justin tell us about our sips ratings.
I begged him not to do an accent, but he's going to do it anyway.
You ready?
I didn't know where this Justin is today, but groundskeeper Willie's here to talk to you about sips ratings.
Sounds like a Russian.
He's South African. He went South African on us.
Yeah. I can see a little
villain from, what was that?
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. Boris Badenov. Yeah.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
All I need him to do is say musket moose and squirrel. That's all I need, Adam.
Musket, moose, and squirrel.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that getting
closer.
Nice?
It's getting closer.
It couldn't get any further away. No. Come on.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
A really bad accent. That's what it was.
That's Dracula.
You don't tune in for anything else.
Yeah, so. that's Dracula with a speech impediment.
It's not like he gets paid for this.
Do you have any earplugs?
Could be Elephant Boy. Maybe he's Elephant Boy.
Yeah. Four sips. Let's keep the secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
I just want to point out, he did not rehearse at all for this.
Surprisingly.
No, that was pretty obvious. Right.
It didn't show.
You kidding? He spent 6 months in Scotland practicing for this
one. We did spend time drinking whiskey, and I think that was the better time spent.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's go on to our first whiskey of the show, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. Our first whiskeys are barrels from the 19th annual release of the Glendronach Cask Bottling Series. For this series, master blender Rachel Barry personally selected a total of 12 casks for each bottled from a single Pedro Ximenez or Oloroso sherry puncheon or butt distilled between 1990 and 1994. Three of those casks were selected especially for the U.S. market, and we were fortunate to have all three today.
Yes,
now, I do need to point out that not each of these was all in the same market. Each of them went to a different market. So if you'd like all three, you'll have to do a little traveling from state to state, boys and girls. The first whiskey is the Glendronach Cask 5080, clocking in at 54.3% ABV or 108.6 proof. It was distilled in 1924.
94, not 24.
Excuse me, 1994.
I wish.
27 years.
A 98-year-old scotch.
In an Oloroso puncheon, and it yielded 667 bottles.
Do you have the states list for this, Bob?
Not off the top of my head, no.
It's got a beautiful mahogany color, just a gorgeous color. This is a pretty amazing whiskey. On the nose, I'm getting orange peel, heather honey, cocoa-dusted truffle, and even a little pepper and tobacco. On the palate, it's got a beautiful viscosity. It's got a wonderful mouthfeel. You do get those chocolate-covered orange peels, candied walnut, a little pepper, a little clove, honey, stewed fruits. It's just really an amazing whiskey. The finish just goes on and on, and it's just a beautiful way to start the day. Brent, what do you think?
It's scotch. Of course I hate it. No, this... You know what? If all the scotches were like this, I would actually enjoy them. I mean, this is a beautiful expression. Now I know what cocoa dusted truffles smell like, and so I got that going for me. But I love the fruits on this. I love the oranges. I love the cranberry ganache that comes through on the palate. It's a nice coating. It's got that candied walnuts on it. Beautiful. There's nothing wrong with this. I mean,
No, it's delicious.
It's just absolutely delicious, And
you know what's wrong with it? I don't have a case of it in my garage. Yeah, but that's what's wrong with it.
Right. But if scotches taste like this.
There were 667 bottles for the United States.
For the world.
Right.
I don't care about the world. I care about me.
The U.S.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But 667 bottles are all that exist on planet Earth. And that's what's wrong with it is only a handful of lucky people will get to try this whiskey.
And it's amazing. Justin, what three words do you have?
So the three words I have today is...
It's been nice knowing you.
You can age whiskey in a puncheon. You can age whiskey in a butt. But it's always better than a punch in the butt. No. They are amazing.
I was waiting for that. And somehow, despite expecting it, it still just struck a nerve.
It's amazing how all these different flavors and scents actually work together and complement each other. There's so many different elements. Rachel Barry is a genius. What do you think, Harm?
I love she's Rachel Barry, and she's freaking amazing. She spent 3 years going through Glendronach, after Brown-Forman bought Glendronach, Benriach, and
Glenglassaugh.
She spent 3 years just getting rid of the junk out of the warehouses and picking the best stuff, and just they got rid of the, they dumped and sold off the stuff, and what they have now, what they're releasing is
stunning. Fantastic.
The fruit is phenomenal. It is surprising to me. You get the red currant. I get the Grenache. I get the cranberries, all that chocolate. What I didn't get was a raisiny note, which I expect in the Oloroso. I was surprised.
No, you'll see that later on, but this one was not raisiny. This one,
it's not raisiny at all. This is 27 years in Oloroso butt. Oh, sorry, puncheon, which is huge. And I still am just surprised and impressed by this whiskey every time I come back to it. Over the last couple hours, I've been drinking it, and oh my God, it keeps getting better. And not a drop of water in it right now. But did anybody try any water?
No, I won't even. Here. I won't even come close to water with these today. So
I'm just gonna taste it.
It really doesn't need water.
It's 108.6 proof. It doesn't need it. But let's see what it does. Okay. So it didn't really improve the nose. I think it was more intense and better, but without the water. But the palate stands up to the water and just brings out more. You get more candied fruit. It comes out, and look, it's a long finish. I love this. This is fit. And the raspberry or cranberry you were talking about, I didn't get it. I'm getting it now.
This is a fantastic whiskey. I mean, it really is. And it's exactly what I would expect from Rachel Berry. Again, I think she is one of the number one or number two on my list in Scotland in the business. I mean, everything her hand touch is fantastic. You really couldn't improve on this other than having more 667 of bottles of it in my garage. It's luscious. It's delicious. It's fruity. It's just got such a depth. It's absolutely magnificent. So we're going to be rating the Glendronach Cask 50-80. Well deserved. 5 sips.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just discussing the Glendronach Cask number 5080. We gave that a well-deserved 5 sips. So let's move on to the next cask that we have, and we're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This is a Glendronach Cask number 6052, 50.8% ABV. It's 101.6 proof. This was distilled in 1992, so it's 28 years old, aged in Pedro Ximenez puncheons. There's 658 bottles. This, and the nose on this, I got right off the bat, I got plums. I got plums, and I got a little bit of chocolate on the palate. Palate comes through right away. That plums follows through from the nose right onto the palate. You get that. You get some other. I get some like apricots and the plum, some oranges, a little bit of nice little finish. It's fruity. It's fun. It's a little bit of raisin note to it, a little bit, not a lot, just a little, because that the plum is the dominant flavor for me here. But again,
really? I agree. I think that it's less dried fruit and more fresh fruit, fresh plum, fresh currant, some apricot. It's definitely a little more tropical, a little more fresh fruit for me than anything else we've had. I don't get those dried notes of raisins and.
It's a Pedro Ximenez cask. You're going to get that fruitiness. But really, what struck me is you were talking about the plums, but on the palate, I got more orange and mandarin.
I agree with Brent. I got the plum more than orange. It definitely was not as citrusy for me. I thought it was more red fruit.
More red fruit for you?
Yeah.
What do you think, Jordan? Justin?
Jordan.
So
Jordan.
This,
Justin.
This for me is all about mouthfeel. So I started out enjoying it and it had a nice full-bodied, oily mouthfeel. And then it finishes dry in a very specific place on my palate. It's like the back part of the
mid palate. Would that be the G-spot of the palate?
The G-spot, definitely. And it was, wow, it's really interesting. Like, you normally don't have anything that starts oily and ends dry. What'd you think, Bob?
I thought it was fantastic. The plums were much more evident on the nose when we first opened it. A lot of that's blown off.
The palate, too, I think it blew off a little bit.
I can still get plum, but it's not the overbearing, you know, dominant that it was before. But it's,
yeah, it was plums and strawberries earlier. Yeah. It's gone away.
Yeah, it's... you know, it's definitely a different dram now. It's got some air on it. I'm getting some more of the raisin on it. I'm getting some more, a little bit of dark chocolate on the nose. And I'm getting more of that Pedro Ximenez character is coming through. I do get the mandarin. I do get on the palate. I do get a little bit of the citrus and I get the red currant.
The citrus comes in mid-palate and it stays on a long finish.
And I get a little bit of dried apricot. And
honestly, I expected a lot more raisiny, pruny notes because of the Pedro Ximenez
and the age
and the ones I've had from Pedro Ximenez, but this was surprisingly fresh fruit and red fruit for me.
It was very bright and very elegant.
That's why it's a single cast selection. She picks something that stands out. It's very different. She's not blending it with anything else. This barrel stands on its own.
Well, we're going to be rating the Glendrona cask 6052, a well-deserved four sips.
Oh, so disappointing, four sips. After that last one.
Oh, yeah, it's disappointing. Yeah. Please just deliver a dump truck of it to my house. Drink it till I drop dead. So let's have Justin tell us about our last one from Glendronach.
So we're going to talk about another single cask from Glendronach. This is cask 217. It's 55.4% alcohol by volume, were 110.8 proof. This was distilled back in 1992. It's 29 years old, and it's aged in an Oloroso sherry butt. And I like big butts, I cannot lie. And this was no exception.
Have you seen yourself in the mirror lately?
On the nose, I got like these beautiful notes of leather and deep, dark, lush raisins, touch of apricot, and these sultana raisins. On the palate, I got these dark, rich sugars, like someone took a fruit cake and powdered it, and cherry, nutmeg, and raisin. It's just a very rich, lush cask, and I really like this. What'd you think, Maury?
Yeah, I thought it was Christmas in a bottle. This was one of my favorite whiskeys of the day. It just had all those great, wonderful sticky toffee. It kind of reminds me of a great, great old English style sticky toffee dessert. The muscovado sugar, the nutmeg, the raisin, toffee. I just really thought it was a spectacular whiskey. It really reminds me of a lot of... fruit cake and Christmas spice cake, and I thought it was fantastic. It was just a real surprise and really pleasant, really enjoyable.
Yeah, that raisin pudding really came out to me early on, and then it turned into like, oh, bring me my figgy pudding, you know, but you know, with the fruit cake taste to it and stuff that you get on it, because you have all those other fruits that come out on it. I love that it's as fruity as it is, it's not like over fruity. It's not like
not at all. No.
But it's definitely more of a dried fruit. That's what's nice about it.
Yeah.
It's well balanced.
Whereas the last one was all bright and fresh fruit, this is more your dried fruit, your fruit cake.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Your sort of oxidized, caramelized sugars that have been toffee-ized.
And that's it. It's a good fruit cake, not the one that you keep passing around every Christmas to everyone you know. Look,
when I lived in New Orleans, we used to go to this, there was these monks who made fruit cakes. And there was the seminary. People would come from hundreds of miles away to buy fruit cakes from these guys. This is it. This is the cherry bomb.
This is the good fruit
cake. This is the good fruit cake. This is the one I was like, you know, forget about my diabetes. I'm ordering this fruit cake. Yeah, no.
Fruit cake and cherries and raisins. And
this
and again,
is the best.
That with the dark fruit on this, I would have almost thought that this one was had a little PX in it, but it's not. It's
this is all this
it's 100% Oloroso.
No, this is a sherry.
This is
butt,
what
so
a really,
smaller.
Really good Oloroso sherry cask.
So yeah, the butt is small. The puncheons are double the size or close to double size of the puncheons.
Yeah, about double.
So you get a lot more concentration of the sherry in here. That color is just gorgeous, this deep mahogany, and that just tells you what you're getting into. Oh my gosh. 29 years old. And
too old for DiCaprio.
Too old for DiCaprio, but I need this. I need this in my life.
Yeah, I could go for, again, a dump truck full of this. So we are going to be rating the Glendronach cask number 217, a well-deserved.
Oh, my
five
goodness.
Sips.
Yes.
All right, so Harm's going to tell us about the stuff we have from Benriach.
Thanks, Bob. Our next whiskeys are barrels from the first release of the Benriach Cask Bottling Series in the U.S. Each of these three expressions are exclusive to the U.S. and have been drawn from individual casks selected by master blender Rachel Berry to offer a rare and unique insight into the versatility of Benriach's eclectic cask styles. Limited to a few hundred bottles per cask, each as whiskey is bottled at cask strength. Its most natural and non-diluted form, providing an unadulterated glimpse into the spirit of Benriach Distillery. The age statements range from 12 to 27 years old. I love this. I need more of this. This first cask we have is not available in Florida. Damn you, Benriach. Benriach cask number 3812, 58.2 ABV, 116.4 proof, 12 years old. Aged in Pedro Jimenez puncheons, 500 liters. And it yielded 642 bottles. The color is medium amber, and the nose is all about brioche and butter and raisins and orange marmalade. And it's a little hot. It's only 12. Butterscotch on the palate, hazelnuts all day long, and that brioche comes back. The finish is long, long, long with raisins and nuts, and I cannot believe it's 12 years old. The only thing that makes me think it's 12 is it's a little hot on the nose. That's it.
Honestly, it's decidedly different after about an hour's worth of air. When it first came out of the bottle, I thought it was closed and tight and very, you know, uninspiring. But the air and time have done it justice. It's beautiful. I agree with you. It's a really, really nice whiskey. And the brioche is really what did it for
brioche
me.
Brioche and toasted nuts.
Both on the palate and on the nose, the brioche and the toasted nuts. I agree with you completely.
It's hard to believe this is only 12 years old.
Oh, it's impossible.
Yeah. It's hard to believe. I mean, because
Brent,
this is so
you hate scotch. How do you think?
I know I hate scotch, and so that's why I'm I'm conflicted in my body, you know, because I don't like scotch. But these are put together amazingly well, that they're done right, and that's what would convert somebody to scotch is objects like these. On the palate, I got like a honey lemon on there as well. It was like, it's just, you know, very similar to what we just had, but you know, half the age, and just as good if not better.
It's like a lemon cream pastry with butterscotch.
It's half the age and the
honey.
Price is a lot better too because of that. This is retailing around $100.
Yeah.
This is a no-brainer.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if you find this,
buy it. Absolutely buy it.
I don't believe it's coming to Florida, so all you people, other people out there, just be happy.
Yeah. 642 bottles. I mean, grab them while you can.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, we're going to be rating the Benriach cask 3812, a well-deserved.
Oh my god!
Five sips.
Our next cask is the 10297, and that's yours, Bob.
Yep. So the Benriach cask 10297, 55.4% ABV, 110.8 proof. It's 23 years old. It's aged in Marsala cask, so you already had me there. 264 bottles total.
Jeez.
And dark.
This one's coming to Florida.
Dark bronze.
I want all 264 barrels. You hear me, guys?
Bottles.
Yeah. Brown, and balls. On the nose, apricots, a little bit of peach, some beautiful floral notes, cherry blossom, orange blossom, a little bit of vanilla. Mm-hmm. And on the palate, orange, beautiful orange blossom honey, little bit of chocolate, not dark chocolate, like semi-sweet chocolate, little bit of apricot. Just absolutely magnificent. I mean, absolutely magnificent. This is a beautiful, beautiful cask. The Marsala character, you can taste that underlayment of the Marsala, but it is in no way taking over the scotch. It's literally just lifting it up. Extremely well done. I mean, just extremely well done.
Wow.
Yeah, this
reminds me in the spring. If you've ever been to Washington D.C. when the cherry blossoms come out and you're walking down the mall,
and you just smell that.
This is just a walk down the mall when those cherry blossoms are out. It's just lovely. It's just beautiful expression. It's just what it is. It reminds you of that every single time.
But on the palate, I'm getting that orange blossom honey. So I took my daughter to a pumpkin patch yesterday, and she got the hay rides and all that stuff, and she had those little honey sticks. She had lavender honey and the
orange blossom. Those are fun.
I'm diabetic. I can't do that stuff, but I can steal a little taste, right? Oh, my God. This is that in the glass. It's that orange blossom honey and the clementines. And this is beautiful and rich, and it's coming to Florida. I'm very excited.
It's got a certain richness to it. It's just viscous, mouth coating, luxurious, elegant. Those are some of the adjectives.
It goes all around the mouth. It goes under the palate, the side of the palate, the back of the throat. It coats everything. It's not oily like a Campbelltown scotch or anything, but it's just got just such a mouth coating feel to it. And it's so deep, it's so dark and rich and deep that it just coats your whole mouth and it stays with you. The finish on this thing is forever.
Oh yeah. Justin, chime in.
What excites me about this and a lot of the other spirits we've had in this show today is they're single casks. So it's much more common to find a single barrel of bourbon than a single cask of scotch. So I hope this is the beginning of a new trend and not just a bright spot.
19th year Glendronach's done it. Benriach is the first year. But the thing is, we don't get them that often in America.
That's right. They don't come here.
Oh, so there's a lot more single cask releases over there?
Yeah.
If you're in Scotland, you can buy a cask. It's not a big deal. But for us to get a single cask here.
Yeah, it's rare and special.
Yeah.
And this expression showing that. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, once more people.
Forrest Gump on the end of the day. That's all I can say. That's all I got to say about that. Well,
how about you give us a rating on this
Bob? What did Jenny think about it? It's like, Lord have mercy.
I don't want to go there.
This one was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So the Benriach cast number 10297 is going to be an extremely well-deserved 5-6.
Oh, my goodness.
This is why people drink scotch.
But
this is finished scotch.
This is a 23-year-old scotch under $500 that tastes like more than $500. Yeah.
Right.
This is it.
I don't know that I'd agree that they're really finished, Brent. Scotch has been aged in sherry butts forever.
Yeah. Right.
And these are, Macallan, every one of their scotches is sherried.
They've changed that now, but yeah, you're right.
For the most part, they've got, they're known for their sherried scotches. So this is not really like new, like we're doing a scene in America with, sticking stuff in rum casks and port casks. This is the way they've been making scotch for
hundreds of years. Yeah, they're aging it from day one in it. They're not taking a finished whiskey and giving it a year or two or three in a, in a different barrel just to,
What's get more that common though, if for the less expensive stuff is because there's so many American ex-bourbon casks, because in bourbon, you're only allowed to use a cask once. They sell a lot of their casks to Scotland. So that's why you're getting a lot of most of the stuff you see most commonly is matured in ex-bourbon and then finished for a year, 6 months, or sometimes several years in Oloroso or other wine casks. But these guys are going old school. These Benriat, this is 100% Marsala. And the previous one was 100%, was it Oloroso? Was it Pedro Mezzan? I've already lost track. The 217 was...
The 12-year? That was Pedro Jimenez.
Yeah, Pedro Jimenez. It was 100% that. So, but that was the way they used to do it. So, but now with the advent of bourbon and so many casks on the market, the less expensive stuff is usually starts ex-bourbon then goes on.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to use casks more than once.
Right.
So you see first, second, third use.
And we don't know how many fills these punch-ins and butts have had. But another interesting
But based point, on the flavor profile, these are first fill.
Probably.
Yeah, considering how long they've been in there. Yeah. But I think the other interesting point to point out is that they're getting a high yield out of these barrels after 20-some-odd years. This is a 23-year-old, and they've got 264 bottles. On the next one, it's 24 and 641 bottles out of a punch-in. That means they're not losing 74% like we are with the bourbons that we've seen earlier and on other shows.
In Kentucky, they're using a lot more of the Angel Share. You've got really cold weather in Scotland and high humidity.
Yeah, correct.
And so you have less Angel Share.
Yeah.
But not only that, in Kentucky, you'll see the alcohol get higher as it's longer than it sits in the barrel.
Correct.
They're evaporating water a little bit faster, so that actually the alcohol comes down.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think they've got more dunnage-style warehouses, and they're definitely cooler and more humid, and so a lot less Angel Share, for sure.
Yeah, and again, you know, the barrels that they're using are larger than an American Standard barrel, which is 53. So, you know, a punch-in, a Hogshead, all these different barrels are bigger than the standard barrels. So they're already starting out with more juice.
This Marsala cast was probably twice the size 1-2% barrel.
So, well, we'll be back. Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we're back, and we are going through the Benriach cask series. We just finished talking about cask number 10297, well-deserved 5 sips. So let's go on to our next cask. We're going to have Brent tell us about
that one. You didn't play the sound effect for them, man. Five sips, baby. Play it.
Yeah, I did.
They deserve the sound effect.
I did.
Not before the...
No, I did it, and then you guys talked for 2 minutes. So, yeah.
So the next one is the Benriach cask number 15058. 55.4% ABV, 110.8 proof, 24 years old. It's aged in Oloroso sherry punch-ins. Total number of bottles is 641. Again, a very limited number. So the nose on this one is just, it's a creme brulee, vanilla, just a little bit of chocolate on there, but it's just a beautiful nose. And on the palate, you get this chocolate orange with some little bit of raisins, and the vanilla follows through just a little bit. It's just a beautiful expression. I mean, I can't get over how well these are done. It's a little explosion in your mouth of these great little flavors. You know, it's not over spiced like if we had a American rye or something like that. These are just blended and creamy and mouthfeel.
But it's 24 years old, not 6 year old like your standard American rye. Or actually, a good American rye is 6 years old. Standard stuff's like 3.
And it's beautiful. This is what what I've all show I've been saying, this is what's going to convert a bourbon drinker to drink scotch. And not that peaty, iodine, smoky.
Oh, we got stuff. That coming on another show for you, Brent.
Sissy.
We're coming for you.
Yeah, it's I get the promises that I have to put up with.
Oh, I got a high turnover with your name on it, buddy.
I know that.
What do you think, Jason?
So, I really love this expression. It's like you went to the best brunch in the world, and you had all the greatest desserts in that brunch in sequential. Well, not in sequential, in sequence, and they all tied together with a great theme of sherry.
I saw you do that at the brunch at the Breakers. Yeah,
I pretty much
went through everything in the dessert bar.
And, and that is pretty much what I'm conjuring for this review was that experience. So yes.
Both of you mentioned the desserts, but does nobody get any umami notes? Because to me, this is like,
you have umami issues.
I get some bacon. Nobody get any bacon?
I don't have mommy issues like you, so yeah.
Yeah, well, some of the desserts have bacon.
I said umami, not ooh, mommy. Bob is just shaking his head.
Can anybody tell this is the second show? I'm just letting y'all know.
So look, now come from further away. You get any like maple cure or brown sugar cure bacon?
Yes.
No.
Bacon notes.
Yes.
Bacon notes.
Bacon, dude. This is not smoky bacon. This is brown sugar.
Foot and a half away from the glass.
I had bacon this morning, and I don't get bacon on here.
Oh, I'm getting it.
Hazelnut,
cedar, creme brulee, bacon. I'm getting. Oh yeah,
he had bacon for breakfast, and it didn't waste his face. So that's a problem.
I didn't actually eat breakfast.
Still stuck in his facial hair.
I did not eat breakfast, Bob. What I had for breakfast was this whiskey. Thank you very much.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
It's a breakfast whiskey. The first show we recorded today was the BTAC series. So
what did you think, Maury?
You know, I agree with what's been said, except for the bacon. I think the bacon is bacon grease from the beard, but this is an amazing whiskey. Again, they're all a little bit different. I do love sherried whiskey, and this Oloroso Sherry Puncheon has really done its job. Amazing. I agree with Justin. I'm more getting things, notes of vanilla, creme brulee.
You're getting all hazelnut, the pastries.
Pastry, for sure. I'm not getting the bacon. I loved it. I thought it had a beautiful finish. Again, this is more of the style of one we talked about earlier, in that the dried fruits, the raisiny notes, the toffee, sticky toffee pudding kind of comes to mind.
There's no umami for you, none.
Not for me. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Nah, I'm not getting any meat out of it. No, but
there is a proteinaceous taste to this. I'm loving it.
Wash your hands. yeah, I'm getting that chocolate orange. I'm getting big hazelnuts. A little bit of the raisiny is coming through.
I get regular sized hazelnuts.
Just beautiful. You know, again, wash your hands. Great mouth coat to it. Goes all the way down the palate. Goes all the way on the sides of the mouth. The finish just goes on and on and on. This is an absolutely classic example of an Oloroso Sherry whiskey.
Agree. Couldn't agree more.
This is, I mean, if you looked it up in the dictionary, it would just say,
I think cask this goes beyond the classic example. The classic example of Oloroso Sherry whiskey to me is sweeter and is a little more unctuous. This has got some lift to it. This is something special.
I don't know about sweeter, but
yeah, it's a little more flabby.
I get this more of the sweeter when you're going like PX or something like that. But
no, this is something special. This is beyond the classic.
This is absolutely lovely. Course. So we're going to be rating the Ben Riot cask 15058. Sounds repetitive, but again, 5 cents.
Oh my goodness.
Just fantastic. So we're going to have Maury tell us about the folks at Balvenie.
Thank you, Bob. Founded in 1892 by William Grant, the Balvenie Single Malt Scotch Whiskey is produced by William Grant & Sons Limited, an award-winning independent family-owned distiller, and today run by its direct descendants of Mr. Grant. Nowhere else can you find a distillery that grows its own barley, malts its own traditional floor maltings, and still employs a team of coopers to tend to the casks alongside a coppersmith to maintain the stills. And of course, Master Distiller David C. Stewart, MBE, presides over the all-important maturation process. An amazing place, and they're really Renaissance people in that they're doing so many things the same way it's been done for centuries. The first whiskey from the Balvenie will be the Balvenie 25, age 25 years, 48% ABV, non-chill filtered, no color added, with do you want to talk about suggested retail price?
It's $800. Yeah, whatever.
It's expensive.
I'm throwing it out there, baby. It's gone the craft commercial portion of the evening. Go ahead.
To craft the Balvenie 25, malt master David carefully chose some of the Balvenie's rarest traditional American and European oak casks to create the special tasting profiles designed for the range. These single malt whiskies had matured for 25 years and were handpicked to complete the layers of flavor envisioned. The two casks were then married together in the brand's traditional oak tuns for just the right amount of time to become one sophisticatedly simplistic expression.
So in previous years, Maury, in America, we used to get only single barrel expressions of 25. This Correct. Is the first time he's doing a multi-barrel expression.
Well, it's really only two barrels, but you're right. It is a blend of a couple of barrels to achieve the profile. The color is a light copper. It's a beautiful color on the nose. Just amazing crystallized ginger, some raw sugar, some oakiness, a little bit of autumn, fall. You just got to get a sense of fall foliage on the nose. The palate is got lots of vanilla, toasted marshmallow, fruit, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of apple, and then it's got a really long finish. I think like some of our previous whiskeys, this one took time for me to open up. It was not really quite the same right out of the bottle. In fact, I thought it was a little bit muted, but with time and air, it's blossomed into a beautiful whiskey that you could definitely drink all day if you could afford a few bottles. Brett, what do you think?
Very much so. This morning for breakfast, we had some croissants that were wrapped up and had some apples, and it was wrapped up in a croissant. And this is kind of what it reminds me of, this breakfast this morning. And it's just a beautiful.
It's like brioche. Little, it's like apple.
Yeah,
it's
just exactly like that. You know, and it's adding a little bit of marshmallows with it. It's, you know, with marshmallows on a fire, a little bit of toast on a fire.
That was actually the first thing I smelled was toasted marshmallow. A little bit further away.
Yep. And it's just I'm really enjoying this one. You know, it's hard to imagine that it's available here for us to have, right? It's like, wow, this is great. Who can have it? Me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can have it right now.
I'm a big Balvenie geek anyway. Everything they make just sort of hits me right. They're one of my favorite distilleries on planet Earth. I mean, I just, everything they make, I just really like, but this one is definitely special. And again, sweet nose, a little bit of oakiness on it, but the toasted marshmallow, the apples, the fruit, and just layer after layer after layer of honey. It's just so beautiful. Just absolutely lovely expression. So, I mean, what more can you say? It's
Balvenie is the whiskey that brought me back to single malts after a long hiatus.
Yeah,
I would agree with you. And I've actually been to Balvenie. I've walked that malting floor. It's pretty amazing. It's just an amazing place. Very old world, very hands-on. And they are, as mentioned and confirmed, one of the only distilleries that has their own coppersmith to tend to the stills, and where their only distilleries have their own cooper who's managing the wood and the casks. And that just goes to the fact that they're not publicly traded.
Most people buy their maltings. These guys do their own malting. And they're
not 100%, but they do a lot of them.
But a portion of it, yeah.
Right.
They're doing what they can, which is,
The dirty little secret of most Scotch blends is there's not enough barley for them to grow it all in Scotland. Half that stuff's coming from northern France.
Right. So they've done it really nicely, and I think that speaks to family-owned and run, traded on the open market and stock exchange and worrying about investors. They can do it the old-fashioned way.
Well, we're going to be rating the Balvenie Rare Marriages 25-year, a well-deserved 5-6.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
How much time do we have left in the show, Bob?
Not enough to talk about the last whiskey here.
I didn't think so.
So our last one is from the Rare Marriages collection, and it is the Balvenie 40. It is 40. What did you say? 40.
40?
40.
Yeah.
As in 2 times 20.
Not the proof.
No.
Years.
46% ABV, 92 proof, bottled at cask strength. You know, it's a rare treat to try any whiskey over, you know, 20, 25, 30 years. Even more so when you're trying something this fantastic. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just a honey sweetness on the nose. Again, orange blossom honey, a little bit of orange, a little bit of citrus. Color. Beautiful color on it. Just creamy on the nose, vanilla, just the slightest little wisp of oak. And on the palate, it's just floral. There's citrus in there. There's orange blossom.
If you had an orange creamsicle made for adults,
that's exactly what this is. Yeah. It's so beautiful, mouth coating. You get that beautiful sherry fruitiness on the back palate that just lifts the whiskey up. Thick, rich vanilla, and I'm at a loss for words. I mean, this one is absolutely fantastic.
Do we know anything about the wood management for this or the 25?
It was well done.
Very well right. done. It's definitely got some sherry.
I know. I went through all these all pretty quick ahead of everybody else. I just got to this one, and I was just, one thing I said was, wow.
I just kept saying wow.
You know, I mean, it impressed me. Like what other words do you have? Wow. That's pretty much how
I summed it up with 3 letters. Wow.
Yeah.
It's Justin, you got something besides wow?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's not just how this expression tastes, but how it makes you feel. It's special. It feels like every rough edge you have in the entire world is put into balance with this expression, and that everything with the world is right. So it's if like you're having a bad day, like the angels gave you a hug.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about that.
So I've had several whiskeys older than 40 years old. I've not had one better than this. Never. This is gorgeous. I've had whiskeys more than double the price of this whiskey, and this is not a cheap whiskey. We're talking about $7,000. I've had whiskeys way more than double the price of this. This is probably the best of those.
I mean, honestly, I've had quite a lot of Balvenie over the years, and this is without a doubt the finest one I've ever had.
I would agree with Bob. Balvenie has a soft spot in my heart, not only because I've been there, but they just make an amazing product. I've really not had any bad expressions from Balvenie. I think even from their entry-level stuff, like their 14-year Caribbean cask, it's an amazing whiskey.
I think it's too sweet for me, personally. This is way
better. Well, but you're a whiskey geek, but the 14 is approachable.
I would sell this hell out of it.
Right. It's approachable for the masses. This is a whiskey that not everybody is going to be willing, even if they could afford it, to spend the money. But for those that are really into the spirits, this is second to none.
It's a blend of American oak and European oak. That's as much as
that's all we know.
But then they put it into the Marring tun, you know, the famous tun, and they let it sit until it comes out exactly the way that
so elegant
that David Stewart intended. So that's the word. It's elegant. It's absolutely fantastic.
It doesn't have any of the dried fruits that we've talked about earlier, but just fresh and bright and beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we all say in unison?
I mean, what do you say, Scotty?
Wow.
What do you say, Scotty?
All I have is a bottle of very, very, very old scotch. What?
Yeah. I might have we're going to be rating the Balvenie 40. It's horrible to only give it 5. I mean, it should get 11.
We don't have 11 billion?
Yeah.
No 11 billion sips?
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining. Who the heck was this? For this show? You idiots should be thanking
me. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
So thank you, Brent.
Seven scotches, five sip rating today.
Yeah.
What a show.
Yeah. The worst one was a four bordering on five.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think half of us just gave it a four so it wouldn't sound sad. We gave it. Because I'm like thinking, I got a five for that one. So
I'm going to get myself a shirt now that says I'm here for the scotch.
I wore my I'm here for the scotch shirt today.
I think you should have brought a shirt like that for each of us.
And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Pleasure being here today. It was an amazing day.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. I am at peace, my friend.
And thank you, Harm.
I've never meant it more than today. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Madman Bob thanking you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. There was none here today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.